seriously, it's got the caramel drizzle on top. I love it.
Oh, God.
Really adds
Come on
a,
now, Jeremy.
Really adds a nice finishing touch to it.
Is this now a coffee podcast?
Yes. You know, I was going to get a macchiato today, but I decided against it, you know.
Good Lord. You are a connoisseur.
Like I said, white girl.
I guess.
Yes. Well, Rob, we're both college graduates now. Can you believe it?
We've done it. We've made it.
Yes, and now comes the scary part of life.
Yes. It, either workforce or more school.
Yeah.
The choice is yours.
Yeah, or both.
Or both. That's what I'm doing, and not thrilled about it.
Oh, yeah, you're going back?
I am. I'm going to the grad school at UGA, so.
Oh, my.
More school.
Gonna be a bulldog.
Yeah. I'm gonna see some good football at the very least.
That is true. I did not see much good football at ASU.
Hell, neither did I.
No.
So.
No, I mean, Herm Edwards is my coach.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Need I say more?
No. No, you do not. you need not say more.
Yes. Excited to go 6-6 every year.
At least you had a program that wasn't D3 and didn't win a football game for 2 years, as my undergraduate school did.
Yikes. What was your mascot?
The Lords.
No.
That is not a lie.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, the only advantage to that is that the ladies were the ladies. Women's teams were the ladies, so they had a different name, which
Lords
was, you know, they didn't have to associate themselves with the piss poor men's teams.
Oh, my. That.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you know,
it's over with. Now I've made a significant upgrade in terms of athletic ability.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I go to grad school, it'll be an SEC school. I want to see good football.
Yeah.
You know?
Do it.
I want to see good football, damn it.
Do it. Just maybe not some of the bad places.
Maybe not the bad places, like Mississippi or something.
Yeah, or, you know, South Carolina.
Not to slander either of those great states, but...
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big fan of South Carolina.
South Carolina in particular?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, not a great place.
You like Mississippi more than South Carolina?
No, I wouldn't say so.
<That's>
At least South Carolina has nice beaches.
That's true, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beach sounds nice right about now.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, with this 113-degree weather out here.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
No. No, it's not. It's monsoon season now, too, so we had the storms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had, like, thunder and lightning at night, and it still doesn't drop lower than about 90 degrees.
That doesn't sound ideal. It doesn't sound like good walking around weather.
Oh, it sucks. It just it sucks. Yeah, the summer storms just aren't good. Luckily, haven't had too many this year, but hopefully it'll be over soon.
Hopefully so.
Yeah, that's the plan. Anyway, speaking of, you know, being in America and sporting events in America, Atletico have just completed their North American swing. It was a very long trek across North and Central America. And now the next game is in Sweden, in Stockholm, against Juventus. That is next week. That's an exciting one, actually, because it's the week before the league season starts, and at that point we'll have a pretty good idea of where Atletico are.
Yeah, it's a good final warm-up against a good team.
Yeah, and Juventus, that's a really good team.
Now it's my turn to have to deal with the cat. Hold on.
I just heard that.
Yeah. Give me a second. Get out of here. Get your ass out of here.
I mean, it was me last week, so...
It was your turn last week, and now it's my turn this week.
Yes, now we're all square.
Yes, we're all square on cats interrupting.
Yes. Anywho, yeah, the Juve game is exciting. It's a good way to end the preseason. And Juve, for me, are one of the two or three top favorites for the Champions League. Perhaps the favorite. That's a really good squad, obviously.
Yeah, they've spent a good deal of money this summer on some pretty decent young players to complement what they already have.
Yeah.
There have been also other rumors about them trying to swap Dybala out for something, but I don't know how realistic that is.
Yeah, I don't get bringing in Lukaku there. I just don't get it. I don't think that's... It's not a lateral move for his career, because Juve are a great team, but I'm not sure where he really fits.
Yeah, and I don't know how well he'd work within Sarri's system, especially considering Higuain is there, and Sarri loves Higuain, so...
I think the banter, though, of Antonio Conte missing out twice on Lukaku... The banter will be great.
Yeah, that would be great, because he is pretty desperate to get him. Because, as we know, Antonio Conte loves big strikers.
Yes, he does.
It's his favorite.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's Juve next week. We won't talk much about that. We'll have some coverage of that during the week. But we have a couple friendlies to not really go in depth on. We can touch on them briefly, and then we have about half a dozen questions to get to.
Yeah.
So this
that's
is,
more interesting anyway.
It gon' be zappity.
Yes.
Let's start with the MLS All-Stars friendly in Orlando. Very rainy Orlando. Finished 3-0 to Atletico. And Diego Simeone pulling quite the troll job playing his Academy kids and B-teamers in the first half.
Yes.
I saw,
and then bringing on the big guns in the second half.
I saw quite a few American soccer fans not too happy about that one.
Yeah, I bet not.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's the MLS All-Star game. We've spent years and years trying to get cachet, and we still have a big European team throwing out their kids and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, you know, I see your point, but, like...
This is preseason.
At the end of the day, it's preseason, and it's midway through the MLS season.
But, on the other side of it, what does that really say about MLS that they ended up losing 3-0 or couldn't score on the Academy team in the first half?
Yeah, and the first half was kind of a dreary affair. Wayne Rooney had the MLS's only shot on target. Marco Chirante had the goal. Really nice little flick by Riquelme, Roro Riquelme from Atleti's Academy, who I hadn't seen much of before this preseason, but he's put in a nice shift. Him and Manu Sanchez, I think, have been Atleti's best Academy players coming up, but he had little flick to Llorente, who finished with power with the left foot. And in the second half, the pace of play really picked up after all the regulars came on. João Félix single-handedly put the game away with that really nice kind of knuckleball from outside the box, and then a really ridiculous assist to Diego Costa in stoppage time.
Yeah, he's certainly been putting on a show in preseason.
Yeah, it looks good. Everything looks good so far. Every interview he's given has just been like, this is a really level-headed kid. And he's going out there, and obviously the caveat is it's preseason, but he hasn't really let anything get to him. He hasn't let the price tag get to him or anything like that, and he's already got this great connection with Costa. That's, I think, the most important thing, is that he's kind of brought Costa back to life in this preseason.
Yeah, even if he hadn't scored any goals this preseason, his connection with Costa has been really encouraging.
Yeah, and we'll see what it's like with Morata when Morata gets healthy again. It looks like, by the way, Morata's doing well. It was just a precautionary thing, which is smart.
Yeah.
So we'll see what the connection might be with Morata, or we'll see whether he plays behind Costa and Morata, which I don't think either of us is a big fan of.
No, definitely not. But no. I think it'll be interesting. I mean, I would guess that just sort of considering the injuries and stuff, it'll probably start out the season being Costa and João Félix. Just sort of based on how they've looked in preseason. That seems like a really solid combination.
Yeah, and one of those two in this form as the backup striker, whether it's Costa or Morata, that would be pretty nice to have, because considering Atleti's backup strikers in the past have been, I don't know, Luciano Vietto or Kevin Gamero, you know.
Or Nikola Kalinic.
Or Jackson Martinez.
Yeah, exactly.
Or aging Fernando Torres, you know.
So, I mean, it is a really solid forward line that Atleti have.
At least on paper. The only thing that is potentially missing there is the fourth striker. And Ivan Šapanić was brought in from Benfica B, maybe not ostensibly to be the fourth striker, but to compete. But it looks like Sergio Camello has, at least in my eyes, the inside track. He scored the equalizer against Atletico San Luis on Saturday. That was not a very good game. But Atleti did come back and win it in the second half with the Camello goal and with an own goal from Juan Portales, the Mexican team's defender. Camello has looked very good in this preseason, and Simeone hasn't really given chances to many teenagers, or many teenagers that the club hasn't spent 126 million euros on. But he hasn't really given chances to many of kids that young, unless he's been backed into it. Camello might be different.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It seems like Atleti's Academy is producing really solid forward players at the moment. I mean, specifically Camello and, of course, Borja Garces, who's still out for a little while. But even still, those are two really young strikers that have come through and have impressed with the first team in limited minutes.
Yeah, and Camello has not looked out of place at all this preseason. I mentioned Manu Sanchez at left back. He's been good. Riquelme in midfield, he's been very good. I mean, Atleti's Academy has gotten a lot better in the past 2-3 years. And it leads to, you know, a couple decisions. Do Atleti try to move some of these players on for a profit? Do some of them get first team opportunities? Do some of them leave? You know, it's an interesting position to be in.
It is, yeah. I mean, you'd think players like Carlos Isak really need to go on loan because they're getting into their early 20s, and that's the point where you really need to start playing, and playing in the B team isn't going to help. So from that point of view, I mean, I would rather guys go on loan than play with the academy, but the disadvantage of that is if people get injured and you need them, it becomes a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, and speaking of a couple academy players going on loan potentially, Victor Mollejo, who we both love, he's been linked with Mallorca, which I think would be brilliant for Mallorca, and I would really watch a lot of them if that happens. And then Javi Montero might be going to Levante, who desperately need defensive help. They were one of the worst defenses in La Liga last year.
And I think those are two fantastic moves for those guys. You could see those two getting regular playing time for lower tier La Liga teams and really making a difference, and I would be very happy with that outcome.
Mollejo in particular, it seems like Atleti, if that happens, if that move happens, would be following the kind of mold that they did with Saul and Tomas. Saul went on loan at Rayo and was excellent at Rayo, mostly played center back that year, the year Atleti won the league, then came back the next year. Tomas was on loan at Almeria in 2014-15, played well there, although they got relegated. And then he came back the next year, and he's an established first-teamer.
Yeah, and I think those two success stories are really huge. I mean, you send guys out on loan for that reason, so they can get playing time. And there's no reason to send them to, like, a bigger club where they won't play. I mean, sending them to, let's be honest, teams are going to be down near the bottom of the table. They have a more realistic chance of getting in the team.
Yeah, definitely. And really making an impact, getting a lot of minutes and seeing what they're really capable of.
Yeah, Montero is interesting as well. I think a move to Levante would be really good for him, just to get a bunch of playing time. I mean, he's a center back, and generally they don't hit their prime until later in their 20s, but the more experience he can get at a young age, the better.
Yep, absolutely. And Montero played a bit last year. He was fine, a little bit shaky at times, but when you throw a guy into the middle of a Champions League game against Borussia Dortmund, he might do that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he got a fair amount of minutes last year for a guy as young as he was. I mean, I think he played, what, about 9 games?
He got, but 500 minutes.
Yeah, so that's really solid. I mean, and I think this is the next step in his development for him.
Yeah, so he's played a bit in preseason. We haven't seen Mollejo really at all in the preseason, but we do have a couple questions, mostly on tactics that we've seen in this preseason. From Twitter, @monolith, with 3 H's, after seeing the new additions in preseason, the energy and change in style they have brought, and looking back on the performances from last season, do you think this rebuild was more necessary than what was previously anticipated?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I think it was actually necessary. I mean, obviously, it seems like there is a lot of other circumstances that happened. The Lucas sale, the Griezmann thing coming back up again. There were a lot of outs, so which basically made this necessary to have a whole rebuild. But I think you could make the argument that last year's team sort of showed that they were stalling out in a lot of ways. I mean, that group had had a lot of years together where, to be honest, they kind of fell short of expectations.
Especially last year.
Definitely. Year. And even the year before when they went out in the group stage of the Champions League.
Yeah, even though that did end up with Atleti winning Europa League, that was still very disappointing to go out at that stage. I mean, you and I have been talking. We've been doing the podcast for 3 years. We're going into our fourth season of Colchonero Chat, which I think is insane. But
it is insane.
We've been talking about this for more than one season, Rob. Atleti had two chances before this summer when they were forced into it. They had two chances before this summer to kind of rebuild and reshape the team. 2016-17, I think they would have if not for that pesky transfer ban. And then the year after, Atleti kind of chose to stand pat. They kind of chose to trim around the edges, bring in Thomas Lemar. That was most of their transfer budget that summer was signing Lemar. And they kept kind of an aging team around, giving it one more shot at glory after winning the Europa League the previous year. And it didn't really pan out. Atleti, as you said, they got stagnant last year. And by the end of the year, it was just a tough experience to watch them. And also, yeah, that's a good point, is that without the Lucas and Rodri sales, both of which were surprising, without those sales, this full-on rebuild wouldn't really have been possible. But yeah, I think this rebuild has been needed for a while. I think perhaps there would have been a preference to do it in stages rather than all at once. But so far, so good, it seems. Atleti have been very strong in the preseason.
Yeah, and I think to a certain extent, like, because there are so many players brought in this summer, we have to sort of couch our expectations that this team isn't going to gel right away. I mean, we've seen some good signs with Felix and Thiago Costa, but I think when we look at the defense, which has to be completely remade with the departures of Godin and Lucas and both the fullbacks, there's a lot of work to do, and it won't work right away. So I don't have the expectations that this team will win a title this year. It could, but it would take some an almighty effort and sort of bucking previous trends of teams buying a lot of players in one summer.
Yeah, that was actually a question from at @saulismo_sn8. Let's guess who he's a fan of. He asked thoughts on Atleti's chances of having a smooth transition coming into the season. And yeah, as good as they looked in preseason, we got to remember this is still a summer where Atletico have brought in 9, possibly 10 new faces, and spent a lot of money, more than almost anyone in Europe, on bringing in these new players and rebuilding this team. It's not going to be an easy transition. We can't have, as good as they've looked in the preseason, we can't really have the expectation that this is going to be smooth, especially defensively, with everything that's gone on defensively, all those new faces learning to play together. That's still going to be the sticking point, is how well they do out of the gate, and they are going to have their struggles. I still think they're going to have their struggles, but you got to think over the course of the season they will learn to play together, and Atleti might be a better team by the end of the season than they are at the beginning.
I absolutely think that'll be the case, because they brought in talent. That is for sure. And I think it'll just be a matter of time to see how this team gels and for the midfield to be figured out, because there's a lot of questions about the midfield. The defense is a little bit more straightforward. They just need to gel together, essentially.
Yeah.
But the midfield, there are a lot more options, especially in central midfield. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out as the season goes along. But I completely agree. I think in May, this team will look a lot better and a lot more fluid than it will in August and September.
And we do have a question on the central midfield, but I was going to ask you about this at the off. I totally forgot. Adding expensive young talent, that's something that both of your teams have done this summer, Rob.
It is true.
Yes.
It's an interesting one. I mean, it in terms of my personal preference, that would be the strategy I enjoy the most. I mean, I think it makes the most sense, both in terms of selling these players on later and getting the most in fees back. And also, I mean, the team's just more exciting when you have guys that you've never seen before, rather than sort of buying guys that have been around for a while and you're hoping to get the last little bits of quality out of.
Yeah. Arsenal's defense isn't going to have much quality in it, but hey, you got Nicolas Pepe.
Yeah, and I mean, they bought William Saliba for a lot of money as well. I mean, obviously, he's not going to be in the team next season. But I mean, if you're buying these players when they're young, you can save yourself having to spend $80 million on Harry Maguire a little bit down the road.
Yes, you absolutely can. And
so, yeah, no, I mean, I think certainly Atleti did more comprehensive business, and I would say probably brought in more talent. But I like the strategy. I appreciate it. I find it more enjoyable to watch rather than bringing in, like, Vitolo and Diego Costa type signings.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the strategy is the more exciting one, for sure.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's not guaranteed to work either, because, you know, young guys fail to pan out all the time, but
that's kind of what's
exciting. I would rather take
it.
That risk.
It's a gamble, and a lot of times you have to move forward by taking risks and not playing it safe, and I do give Atleti a lot of credit for this. It may not turn out to be an A-plus window, but they took some gambles, they took some risks, and if you want to stay at the top or be at the top, you got to do that. You can't play it safe for so many years, because teams will figure you out, and that's the hole Atleti fell into.
Yeah, I mean, they got to the point where they were just relying on the old championship core for so long that they reached a point where they couldn't just keep retooling anymore. They had to replace guys that they had sort of been putting off, or sort of keeping guys around much longer than they should have ever stayed.
Yeah, and those guys are gone now.
Yep.
Just yesterday, we saw the announcement that Juan Fran's going to go play at Sao Paulo with Dani Alves.
That's a weird one, man.
That, yeah, it was. I love the introductory video. Like, that is how every club should introduce a new signing.
Oh, definitely. No, it's really nice, but two old right backs?
And, you know, one of them is arguably the greatest right back of all time. It's going to be great. It's a great competition.
Yeah. It will, I guess. I mean, maybe they're just going to split the minutes since neither of them is particularly fast anymore.
Yeah. I mean, Dani Alves has more of the tank than Juan Fran does at this point.
I mean, we assume so, yeah.
It is a very interesting move for Juan. I mean, both Juan Fran and Felipe are going to be playing in Brazil next year.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. I imagine they'll be hanging out a good bit.
You'd think so. Yeah, I mean, Felipe at Flamengo and Juan Fran at Sao Paulo. It's very interesting.
So. It's a bold move for him. I mean, yeah. He's an older guy to go to a new country at this point in his career. It's a bold move. I mean, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and good for Juan Fran. We hope he does get some minutes there. Will be tough with Dani Alves there as well, but
yeah,
it's an interesting move for sure, and we obviously hope for the best for Juan Fran. We still love him.
Maybe he's just looking to put in a bunch of crunching tackles like they do in Brazil all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just what he wanted out of this.
Juan Fran fully embracing a shithousery.
Exactly. Exactly. We know how much he loves it.
Yes. Coming up under Cholo and emerging fully under Cholo. He'll just get to fully embrace that.
Yes, exactly. And the refs will let you get away with it a little bit more. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely in the South American leagues.
Yeah, that's going to be nice. I'm actually looking forward to watching that.
It's a lot crazier. Circling back a little bit to Atleti and the central midfield, which you intimated a little earlier, Arne Olofsson, @ArneOlofsson on Twitter and on our Patreon page. Having seen some signs of changes in tactics from Cholo, such as not playing with four central midfielders at the same time, what do you think about Tomas's role this season? There are five central midfielders all eager to play. I would hate to see Tomas leave, but I also think he deserves better than the bench.
It's a great point. I think Tomas's position is a little bit precarious, actually. Just because there's going to be a lot more competition. We know, more than likely, if he's fit, Koke is going to play. And then around that, he's going to have to earn a spot. I mean, the one advantage he has is that Simeone knows him and seems to really like him. I just hope that at some point this season he doesn't end up playing it right back.
Well, you never know. You know, don't hold your breath.
Yeah, I know.
Especially because Santi Arias isn't exactly Cholo's favorite player.
Right, and we don't know what Kieran Trippier is going to be like.
Yeah, signs have been promising from Trippier. He's been talking about learning Spanish. He's been talking about getting lessons every day. He's looked solid in preseason, particularly.
Yeah, he definitely has.
Him and Lodi has impressed me.
I think Lodi's going to be just fine. I was worried about his transition, but I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, perhaps more than any of the new signings, Lodi has really impressed me because he's coming from Brazil, and he's just been relentless in attack. Him and Trippier just firing in crosses. That's been a promising development, kind of like we talked about when both players were signed. So far, that's looking good. But into the central midfield talk, Tomas has been back at Atleti. This is his fifth season now, and he's only been an undisputed starter in one of those seasons. So it's got to be tough for him. And that season was 2017-18 when he was arguably Atleti's best midfielder that season. Rodri came in last year and kind of upset the balance, and now Marco Llorente and Hector Herrera are in this year. So the competition there is fierce, and you're right, Tomas may be the odd man out. He's going to have to really impress, or Cholo is really going to have to change the system more.
Yeah, and there were rumors at the beginning of the summer about him potentially leaving, but I think the combination of Rodri going and just the needs throughout the rest of the squad meant that they couldn't afford to lose him.
In a way, it's surprising Tomas hasn't gone yet. His release clause is $50 million, and I think he's probably worth it.
I think that would be good value for a lot of teams.
Especially,
I mean, he's a starting quality player for a top 30 team.
Yeah, Tomas is a very good midfielder, but it's tough for him to, because last season he spent a decent amount of time coming off the bench, and he wasn't totally good with it. He gave a couple interviews where he was a little frustrated, and I understand it. The previous season he was an undisputed starter, so it's going to get even tougher for Tomas this year, because you get the sense that Hector Herrera is a player that Cholo's going to love, and
yes,
Marco Llorente is going to be a starter more often than not. Because he is also kind of an archetypal pivot in Simeone's system. Koke and Saul also are, you can't drop those guys. So the competitions, it's going to be very tough for Tomas to get regular minutes again.
Yeah, I mean, it's better to have more competition than less, but at the same time, it's not great for Tomas personally. And I think you and I both really like him as a player, but the reality is it's going to be really tough.
Yeah, and he is a good player, and you see it from two sides of the same coin. On one hand, you know, he adds a lot of quality and a lot more depth. Atleti kind of needed a fifth central midfielder last year, and they didn't have one, and they rectified that very quickly this summer. The other side of that coin is, well, he could be discontent, he could be disgruntled, maybe he won't play a whole lot, and Atleti will lose something by not effectively juggling and shuffling their central midfield options. So it's a tough balance Cholo's going to have to strike.
I mean, it would it totally shock you if he were sold in January?
Not totally. No, I was just thinking that, actually. It wouldn't totally shock me if this doesn't go well for him.
I think there's definitely a chance that's how this plays out.
Yeah, or he'll go next summer.
Yeah, one of the two. I mean, his contract, he's still under contract for a while, but...
And he hasn't renewed yet, which is very curious.
Yeah, I mean, and he's 26 years old, you can kind of understand it. He's gonna, at this point in his career, he wants to play every single week, and that's definitely understandable.
Yeah, he's starting quality for a lot of teams, and he is definitely a player who can succeed in European competition. Like, he's...
Absolutely.
Tomas isn't good enough to be... like at a Juve or a Man City or any of like the massive Champions League contenders, like with gigantic budgets. But Tomas is really good for a team like Atletico. That's kind of in that second tier.
Yeah, I mean, if he went to a team like Inter or something like that, a top three or four team in one of the big five leagues, I think is definitely his level.
Yeah, those are the right teams for him. So we'll see with Tomas. We'll see what kind of time he gets. You know, maybe Marco Llorente doesn't adapt all that quickly, and that opens up a door for Tomas. Maybe Hector Herrera doesn't play as much, and that opens up space for Tomas. So we'll see. We won't know a ton until Tomas hasn't played in the preseason because he had the African Cup of Nations, so he's been on vacation.
Right.
So,
which I guess is a setback for him. I mean, it may mean that he doesn't. Yeah. Start out the season playing, which also doesn't help.
And an even bigger roadblock could be if Atleti do make that one more splashy signing in midfield.
Yeah.
That's in another big roadblock, and we'll get to that in a little bit. A couple questions on tactics from Zach Drisco, Colchonero Chat Amigo. What do you make of the tactics so far? To me, it looks like the fullbacks are higher up the pitch and the wingers are more free to create and roam. Is it the competition level they're facing? Am I just imagining things? Is it just going to be the same rigid 4-4-2 as always?
Well, I think it's a good point, and I agree with that observation. And I think it hopefully is something that goes into the season because it's something that didn't happen last year. But I think the reason it didn't happen last year and the reason it's happening now is because the fullbacks are completely different. They now have two young-ish fullbacks that are more offensively minded than Felipe and Juanfran were either willing or capable of being.
Mostly capable.
Yeah, mostly capable. But that sort of allows for Thomas Lemar to roam around a little bit more, which I think will absolutely be to his benefit if that trend continues. If he has Lodi bombing down the wing to swing and crosses, he can venture further infield and create more. So I hope that continues, because I think that could really make a big difference in this team.
It's helped out Vitolo too. Vitolo's had a great preseason.
Yeah.
The fullbacks are kind of central to what Cholo wants to do. I bet you he's just so happy to have fullbacks who can move now. As much as he loved Juanfran and Felipe, they just 1 year too many for both of those guys. I will always have the images in my head of the second leg against Juventus when Cristiano Ronaldo just destroyed Juanfran, who was playing out of position because Lucas was hurt and Felipe wasn't good enough. It was just a disaster. Hopefully that will not happen again this year. You know, that's
at least they'll have the athleticism to keep up this
year. Yeah, part of rebuilding that defense is so that would not happen again. As for the question about the second half of that question about the formation, the rigidity of the 4-4-2, Koke gave a pretty enlightening interview in El País earlier this week, rather. He said Simeone has been experimenting more with the 4-3-3, wanting more possession, wanting to be more proactive in attack. And to say the least, that is I'm very cautiously optimistic about a comment like that.
Yes.
Thank God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think a 4-3-3 is ideal for this team now. I mean, I suppose the only drawback would be that it doesn't allow you to do the two striker, which may be best for someone like João Félix. But we can work around that, I think.
I think it'd be
best for the central midfield to get three midfielders in there rather than just two. I think that would make it a lot more balanced.
Yeah, Koke, Saul, and Marco Llorente as that midfield trio. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, and or Thomas at the base. So I think they have good options in there, and they should use it.
That is pretty nice. And yeah, João Félix may be one of those players who is just good enough. You put him anywhere, and he'll do well. Maybe not at left back, but he'll do.
You could play him on the left wing and maybe move Lemar over to the right wing, and that could work.
And those two guys with Lodi and Trippier behind them, Costa and or Morata in the middle, that can work. That can totally work.
That's a scary team.
Yeah, that can definitely work. And Lemar in particular, a word on him, big year for him, make or break year for him. Considering the fiat that he spent on him, considering he had some struggles adapting last year, this is a big year for him, especially if the formation does change, especially if that shift is used more frequently, perhaps against bigger teams like a Valencia or a Sevilla, or God forbid, one of the other two of the big three in Spain. God forbid, let's not go crazy now. But this is an important season for Lemar. If he is going to be playing in a more advanced, less Arda Turan-y role, he's got to succeed in it.
Yeah, definitely. And kind of what we were talking about with the fullbacks, I think that could be a great benefit to him. I think though he was disappointing last season, we saw some bright spots from him. And I think for him personally, one of the best things was that he worked so hard that it impressed Simeone. So I think he will almost certainly play every week, and that's the first thing. But then after that, he needs to start producing more in the final third than he did last season, because he just didn't rack up anywhere near the assist or goal numbers that we're expecting. I don't think he'll ever score a ton of goals, but if he can create a lot more, that would be great.
Yes, got to have some end product, whether that's goals or assists.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever score a ton, but this team has a lot of firepower, so it's not totally necessary.
At @baby_coke on Twitter, after watching all our preseason games, which formations will suit Atleti best or will be used the most next season? I know each game has its own tactics, but surely we will have a consistent approach to many games, so which will it be? And that's kind of what we were just talking about. Simeone's not going to abandon the 4-4-2. He's never going to. Which, you know, is fine. It just depends on your approach to it. If it's a defensive 4-4-2, it's not going to get the best out of some of this personnel. But I don't have a problem with the 4-4-2 out of principle. But we're going to see a 4-3-3. I've been saying for a while that with the moves that Atleti have made this summer, a 4-4-2 diamond would be probably the best approach.
Yeah, I think that's possible. Because we know Simeone likes to have two strikers. It would reduce the amount of wing play we have, but, you know, going back to the fullbacks, they can provide width on the wing in a way that wouldn't have been possible last season. So I think that is definitely possible. But what we do know about Simeone is that more often than not, he's going to want to play the same formation every week. So it'll be interesting to see what works and what he feels comfortable rolling with on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and maybe we do see that evolution, but I think most likely it's going to be a 4-4-2 against most teams. Perhaps it is a diamond. Simeone was working on that with the players early in preseason training. Maybe we do see that come to life more often. Perhaps it is a 4-3-3, because that's what Koke said that has been the latest thing they've been working on, the latest formation they've been working on. Not really sure. I do think the diamond is the best way to get the most out of these players, and we'll see where it goes.
The other thing is the first three matches of the season aren't particularly tough matches against Getafe, Leganés, and Eibar, so there is possibility for experimentation there.
Yeah, that's true. Getafe were very, very good last year, but the demands of Europa League, lucky for them, they did keep most of their core together. Gene in particular stayed there, and that's big for their defense. Getafe are going to be tough. We'll see how Europa League treats them. Oh, you got to remember, though, Atleti are trash at Leganés. You got to remember that.
This is true. I know. I was trying to avoid thinking about
you
that. But
got to remember that.
Got to remember that. But it is a fairly friendly start to the season. I mean, it's only at the end of September that they hit Real Madrid. That's the first really tough battle. I mean, I guess you could say Celta, but they weren't great last season.
A potentially Real Sociedad at Anoeta. Yeah. Or it's been renamed now, the Seguros Stadium.
It's Anoeta.
I'm calling it Anoeta. Yeah.
We're sticking with it. I think Robbie Dunn said that on Twitter. We're rolling with Anoeta.
Yeah. I agree with him. We're going to say Anoeta whether they like it or not.
It's our site policy.
It's just what it is, yes. So yeah, La Real will be a good test. That is the first game after the international break. That will be a very interesting test. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, Real Madrid on the 29th. That's, of course, is the big one.
Yes, indeed.
All right, let's talk transfers.
Okay.
Let's talk about what's going on there. Ben Hunt on Twitter. Would $50 million for Angel Correa constitute daylight robbery or just regular robbery?
I think it's daylight robbery.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. So it looked for a little while like Milan had given up on the chase for Correa. They signed Rafael Leao from Lille for about $35 million, 19-year-old, very promising striker. So it looked like they had given up. But in recent days, the reports from Italy have indicated that Correa has turned down an approach from Monaco and he only wants to go to Milan. So Milan have reopened negotiations, possible fee around $40 million or so. There was a disagreement over add-ons, bonuses, that kind of thing. But still looks like this is on the table. Still looks like Angel Correa could be going to Milan, and I personally think that that's more his level. Not that because Milan are not in Europe this year because of their whole thing with UEFA, but because that's the kind of club, a club knocking on the door of a top four place in Serie A, that's probably closer to his level.
Yeah, and they made a fair amount of money on selling Patrick Cutrone to Wolves. So I think it's possible. I mean, Transfermarkt has him valued at around $39 million. So I guess a fee around $40 million would be fair-ish. But I think really, if you're getting over $30 million for Angel Correa, it's an extremely solid deal, and you take it.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Is that if you're, I don't think Correa is worth about less than $30 million. If you get $30 million for him, excellent. If you get $40 million, do it. Sell him
immediately. Yeah.
It doesn't look like the fee's gonna be more than that, but. I'm good with selling Correa. Yeah, I'm good with selling Correa for $40 million. Like, that is fine by me. Especially,
and that'll probably help out the finances of the club as well.
And it will take Atleti well over 300 million euros in sales this summer if it
happens. Which is crazy.
Yeah, and you'd bet Simeone wants this done in the next 2 weeks before the season starts. He likes to have the team closed. As the Spanish phrase goes, the squad is closed. He would like that to be done before the season starts. So, still possible Correa goes, and maybe a splashy replacement comes in. Of course, we have talked at length about James Rodriguez. And,
yes.
So that's still supposedly on the table, but maybe it's not. But also, maybe it is. Real Madrid are still deciding what they have to do, or what they want to do, rather. I mean, sure, they can go sign Paul Pogba if they want their net spend to be negative $500 million this summer. Sure, that won't raise UEFA's suspicions at all.
Yeah, I mean, even still, they probably won't get punished for it.
No, because they make so much revenue. But still, how can you have a net spend that low? Like, seriously.
Well, as we know, FFP is a wonderful thing that definitely works.
I mean, they've got to sell, and James wants to stay in Madrid, so that's... I don't think that's off the table until it's, well, off the table. Christian Eriksen is off the table, though. The Premier League window closes next week, and it doesn't look like there's any traction on a move for him. But what about Giovanni Lo Celso?
Now we're talking.
Yeah, what about that? I was kind of theorizing about this earlier this week, and there was a report, I think, from a Sevilla-based reporter, who said there have been talks between Spurs and Betis for a long, long time. That's common knowledge. But Lo Celso's team was talking to a Spanish side last week. And that got me thinking, well, who could be the Spanish side interested in Lo Celso? It's not Real Madrid. There have been no links with Lo Celso from Real Madrid. He doesn't seem like the player that they need. They need like a true central midfielder, like a Pogba, or like a Donny van de Beek from Ajax. Can't be Barcelona. Barcelona can't afford him and don't need him. Can't be Valencia. Valencia have a bunch of internal strife, and they can't really afford him. Sevilla are out of the question because Betis and Sevilla hate each other. It's got to be Atletico, right?
When you put it out there like that, it really does seem like they're one of the only options. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't really make a case for anyone else. I mean... Barcelona maybe, but I don't think they could swing that this summer with all the money they've spent.
They had to take out a loan to sign Griezmann. Never forget
that. Right.
And they did just do a deal with Betis. They just signed Junior Firpo to be the backup left back, which I think is ridiculous. The fee that they had to pay for him is well below his value. So I'm upset about that deal, not because I wanted Firpo to play for Atleti, but because I think he's worth more than that. That said, Betis have a chance to make another huge sale here. And the links with Spurs have been there all summer, but Spurs have already made one huge purchase in Ndombele, and they would need to sell Eriksen, most likely, to finance this move, which is not going to be done for less than $60
million. And I don't know where the interest for Eriksen really is, or where it's coming from, because it doesn't seem like it'll be Real Madrid.
No.
And Juventus had links, but they've spent a ton of money, too.
And yeah, what would that be? Have to be a part exchange deal. That'd have to be a swap for someone. Yeah, it's been Madrid, it's been Juventus, Atletico were linked a little bit tenuously, but I don't think that's going to happen. More likely than not, Eriksen stays and plays out the final year of his contract, and Tottenham just deals with it later. But they almost certainly have to get rid of Eriksen if they want to sign Lo Celso, and that's not a cheap operation. That is 60, 70 million we're talking about. Money that Spurs don't have, but Atletico right now, especially if they sell Correa, Atletico would have. And Lo Celso would be a really good fit in this team. Really versatile attacking midfielder, led Betis in goals last season, was pretty much their best player. He was just great for them last year.
He's a fantastic player. I really like him a lot.
And he's young, 23 years old.
Yeah, I still have absolutely no idea why PSG let him go for so little. But, you know, they make smart decisions all the time.
That's exactly right.
So, you know, but I agree. I mean, I think the thing with the Spurs links, if you kind of read the tea leaves with it, is that they've been negotiating all summer, but it seems like Bettis want more than Spurs are willing or capable to pay for him. So it seems like they're trying to drum up interest elsewhere, and I would be very, very interested if he were to come to Atleti. I think that would be an excellent addition.
Oh, God, that would be great. Talk about a young player who has been in Spain for a year now, has La Liga experience, was one of Bettis's, if not their very best player last year. I would be a huge fan of signing with Chelsea. I know the fee would be up there. He would cost more than James would, but I think the ceiling is higher than James.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Considering their age.
And I think his sort of style works better in this team than James would, because he's a hardworking player, and he's Argentine. And those two things make Diego Simeone very interesting.
Very happy, yes.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, yeah, Lo Celso was just really good last year. Goal or an assist at a really good pace. I mean, every second or third game he was getting one. He was great last year.
Yeah, I'd have him in a second.
At 23 years old, too, 5 years younger than James. I'm still on board the James train, mostly because of the chaos it would create. But Lo Celso might make more sense, and it would be an awesome signing. Granted, this is what we're doing right now is we are speculating. We don't have any concrete information from the Madrid papers or really anyone. But it doesn't seem like there has been a lot of progress made between Spurs and Bettis.
And it seems like he wants a move.
Yeah, and Eriksen wants a move too, but that's just tough to pull off because there isn't a ton of concrete interest in him.
Yeah, I don't see the potential suitors for Eriksen, really.
And Spurs would have to get it done this week. The Premier League window closes on Friday, I think.
Yep.
Because they do it, England does it the smart way. They close the window before the season starts.
Yeah, and of course they changed it last season. It's weird that the rest of Europe hasn't done that yet, although I kind of get it, because they can now sort of exploit England
in a way.
With all of their riches, so I get that. But yeah, I'll be interested to see how that plays out. I think he's a very interesting player.
We'll see. You get the sense that this week is a decisive week for Atleti to kind of finish up the squad, to kind of make that one more big signing that they want to make, whether it's James, whether it's somebody else. You get the sense that this is a really decisive week.
Yep, and get him in time to at least gel with the squad a little bit and potentially play in that Juventus friendly.
All right, well, it's exciting, and we'll be probably back next week to talk about it. In the meantime, that's it for this edition of Colchonero Chat. My guest, Rob Walker, thank you so much for joining me, Rob.
Always a pleasure.
Follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter at jbbaron. You can follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon, and like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program on your favorite podcasting platform, including Apple Podcasts. Please leave a rating and a review if you would like to do that sort of thing. Finally, head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/ColchNeroChat. From as little as $3 a month, you can become a Colchonero Chat amigo. We'll answer all your questions on the pod. And yeah, it's cool stuff. Patreon.com/ColchoneroChat. Until next time, adios.